Alrighty, I am going to talk today. Today is the last great day, which signifies redemption of all mankind, the last judgment. And I'm going to talk today, the name of the message is the Kinsman Redeemer. The Kinsman Redeemer, a very mysterious subject in the Bible, but a really, really exciting subject. So I'm going to start in Leviticus 25. I'm sure you've probably read this before and wondered about this subject. Who is the Kinsman Redeemer? What does he do? When does it come? Why does it come that way? And we will answer all of this today. Leviticus 25, I'll start in verse 8 through 13, then I'll drop down to verse 23. It says, "And you shall number to yourself 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 years times 7, and all the days of the 7 Sabbaths of the year shall be to you 49 years." So the same as we said with Sukkot, what does the number 7 mean? 7 is completion, 7 is everything being up together. So Sukkot is the 7th feast in the 7th month, lasting for 7 days. And now we have 7 Sabbaths of 7 years, 7 times 7, 49. "And you shall let a ram's horn resound, a signal in the 7th month, in the 10th of the month, in the Day of Atonement. Let a ram's horn pass throughout all your year." So again, in the 49th year, in the 7th month, on the 10th of the month, you're resounding the longest trumpet sound. Remember on Yom Teruah where they're blowing trumpets, this is going on, and then you have the 10 days of awe. It ends up with Yom Kippur, the day of At-One-Man with Yahweh, and the longest sound of the trumpet is announcing the Jubilee year. Now we know the Jubilee wouldn't start until Aviv 1, so why would they announce it 7 months beforehand? Because again, you have to understand the agricultural cycle. That, like I said, in the next couple of weeks, everything is going to be seed. It's going to be put the seeds in the ground. There'll be they've already plowed. They'll be seeding the ground, and then of course that seed would come up at Aviv in 7 months from now. So again, if you're coming into a Jubilee year where you're not allowed to harvest your food, there would be no sense in planting. So that's why it is announced now, but yet the year still wouldn't start for 7 months. "And you shall make the 50th year holy, set apart, Kodesh, 1 year. And you shall proclaim liberty in the land to those living in it. He shall be a jubilee to you." Interesting, in the original, the word can be it or he. I think he fits better if you look at the context. Because we know who is the Jubilee, as we're going to see today. Who is this Kinsman Redeemer? "And you shall return every man to his possession. Yea, you shall turn back each to his family. It is a Jubilee year, the 50th year to you. You shall not sow, nor reap that which grows of itself, nor gather from its unkept vines. For it is a Jubilee, it is holy to you. You shall eat its increase out of the field, and the year of Jubilee you shall return each one to his possession." And again, why are you not sowing? Why are you not reaping? Why are you not planting? Because the whole point of the Jubilee is what? Yahweh will provide. Remember Abraham with Isaac? You know, when the ram was in the thicket, and what did he say? You know, Yahweh will provide. And that's the point of the Jubilee, that Yahweh is providing for his people. Drop down to verse 23. "And the land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine, for you are aliens and tenants with me." Like I said, you know, Kingdom Principles 101, the first thing you learn is in a kingdom setting, everything belongs to the king, you know, that there is no private ownership of property. So this is one of the reasons why they cannot divide the land here in Israel, because the land is Yahweh's. And it is not to sell, it is not to divide. "The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine, for you are aliens and tenants with me. And you shall grant a redemption for the land in all the land of your possession. If your brother has become poor and has sold his property, then his kinsman redeemer," you know, the word is Goel, "the kinsman redeemer shall come and shall redeem the thing sold by his brother. But when a man has no kinsman redeemer to him, and his own hand has reached out, and he has enough for its redemption, then he shall count the years since its sale, and shall give back the surplus to the man that he sold it, and he shall return to his possession. And if his hand is not found enough to give back to him, then the thing he sold shall be in the hand of him who buys it until the year of Jubilee. And it shall go out in the year of Jubilee, and he shall return to his possession. And when a man sells a dwelling house in a walled city," we'll get into this later, the importance of this, "then his right of redemption shall be at the end of the year of its sale. His right of redemption shall be a year of days. And if it is not redeemed until a full year is complete, then the house in the walled city shall be established in perpetuity to expire throughout its generations. It shall not go out in the jubilee. But the houses of the villages which have no walls all around shall be counted as the field of the country. There are redemption rights to it, and it shall go out in the jubilee. So again, if it's in a walled city, you have 1 year to redeem. It's almost like if you ever had a tax sale. You know, in the U.S. they have this. You owe money on taxes. You can't pay. They give you 1 year to pay, or somebody else can come in and take your property. So it's the same thing here. In a walled city, you only have 1 year to redeem it, or you lose it. But if it's unwalled, if it's out in the field, then in the jubilee, every jubilee, it would revert back to the owner. I'm going to drop down to verse 35 now. Verse 35. And when your brother has become poor and his hand has failed with you, then you shall help him. He shall live with you as an alien and a tenant. You shall take no interest or increase from him. You shall fear your Elohim, and the life of your brother is with you. You shall not give silver to him with interest, and you shall not give your food for increase. I am Yahweh who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give to you the land of Canaan to become your Elohim. And when your brother becomes poor with you, and he has sold to you, you shall not lay on him the service of a slave. He shall be with you as a hireling, as a tenant. He shall be with you. He shall serve with you until the year of Jubilee. Then he shall go out with you. He and his sons with you. He shall return to his family. He shall even return to the possession of his father. For they are my servants whom I have brought out from the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold with the sale of a slave. You shall not rule over him with severity, and you shall fear with Elohim. So even slavery is involved here with the Jubilee year. Verse 47. And if an alien or a tenant lifts up a hand with you, and your brother grows poor with him, and he sells himself to an alien, a tenant with you, or to the offshoot of the family of an alien, after he has been sold, there is a redemption to him. One of his brothers may redeem him. So now this is somebody who's being sold outside the family, just like what happened with Ephraim, the northern tribes, when they're cast into the diaspora, and they're sold out to the nations. It says here, a family member, after he's been sold, there is redemption. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle, or a son of the uncle may redeem him, or any of his fleshly relations of his family may redeem him, or if his own hand has reached out to gain, then he may be redeemed. And he shall count with his buyer from the year of his being sold to him until the year of Jubilee. And the silver of his sale shall be by the number of years, as the days of a hireling it shall be with him. If there are yet many years, by the mouth he shall give back his redemption from the silver of his purchase. And if there are few are left of the years till the year of Jubilee, then he shall count with him according to the years he shall give back with his redemption price. As a hireling, year by year, he shall be with him, and he shall not rule with him with severity before your eyes. And if he has not redeemed in this way, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, he and his sons with him. For the sons of Israel are servants to me. They are my servants whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. So again, the Jubilee year of release by the kinsman redeemer. You don't plant because Yahweh is the provider in the Jubilee. It's all about faith and trusting in Him for our survival. This word indicates the rightful next of kin, talking about the kinsman redeemer. It's the rightful next of kin who would redeem his relative who has fallen into bondage, and is indicative in Scripture of the Messiah who redeems those who seek Him of the bondage of the debt of our sins, which according to the Torah would be punishable by death. This is why it is very clear the Messiah must return directly before the Jubilee year of redemption. So again, when you're looking at the literal Jubilee year here, it's not so spiritual. It's a physical analogy. It's physically, you lost your land, you can't pay, you know, or you lost your house, you can't pay, or you lost yourself as a slave and you can't pay. And then there would always be that right of redemption. Interesting enough, except for one place that we'll go to here in a minute, we don't have any record of them ever keeping a Jubilee in Israel. From the beginning, there's no record ever. During King David, during King Solomon, none of the kings, there's no record of it. And that's why now, we really don't really know for sure when the Jubilee is. Because we don't have a clear-cut year that we can say, oh, the Jubilee definitely happened in 542, so let's just count 50-50-50, because it never changes. But when you're looking at it, what is this showing you? It's showing you from the time Israel entered the land, you know, that they never really fulfilled what Yahweh was showing here. So this is why I say, why does the kinsman redeemer have to come in the Jubilee year? Because nobody is qualified. to redeem you. It's not talking about this land, which we don't have, but we're going to see when Yeshua returns as the kinsman redeemer. Yes, we will get our land back, but what good is the land if you're going to go to the lake of fire and die? That the kinsman redeemer is so much bigger. And when we see the prophetic prophecies in the Old Covenant, and we see what Yeshua said in the New Covenant, we're going to see what a beautiful, beautiful story of redemption that Yahweh put here from the 25th chapter of Leviticus. The year of Jubilee is to redeem the land and free the captives. Redeem the land and free the captives. And like I said, there's no record of a Jubilee except with Joshua. Why don't we go there for a minute? Joshua, the 6th chapter. And Jericho was closed and was shut in from the face of the sons of Israel, no one going out and no one coming in. And Yahweh said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho and its king, mighty warriors, into your hand. And you shall go around the city and all the men of battle, going around the city once. You shall do it 6 days." 6 days, 7 days, the Sabbath, right? "And the 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns." And these are horns of the blast. The word here is Yobel, and that literally is the horn of the Jubilee. If you look that up, the Yobel is the horn of the Jubilee. "So they shall bear the trumpets of the ram's horn of the blast of the Jubilee before the ark. And the 7th day you shall go around the city 7 times." 7 days, 7 times. You see how Yahweh's pattern never changes. 7 days, 7 times. "And the priest shall blow with the ram's horn." Right? What did we see when we just read about the Jubilee in Leviticus 25? The long blast of the horn is the announcing of the Jubilee. "And they shall be, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn," exactly what's done on Yom Kippur, announcing the Jubilee, "and when you shall hear the sound of the ram's horn, all the people shall shout with a great shout." And that comes from where the word Yom Teruah comes from, Feast of Shouting. "And the wall of the city shall fall down under beneath, below you, and the people shall go out each man in front of him." And like we said, isn't it interesting that if it's a walled city, it can only be redeemed for the year. If it's an unwalled city, it can be redeemed every Jubilee. And what happens? There's a wall and Yahweh takes it down. He has other ways of doing things, right? He makes it without a wall to fulfill his word. If you drop down to verse 8, "And it happened when Joshua spoke to the priests, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn before Yahweh passed and blew with the ram's horn," Yobel again, the blow of the Jubilee, "and the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh went before them." And then we see in verse 9, "And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor cause your voices to be heard, nor shall there go out from your mouth a word until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout, Ruah. And then verse 13, "And 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns of blasting," Yobel again, Jubilee blasting, "were walking before the Ark of Yahweh, going on and were blowing at the ram's horn," and it goes on and on and on. So clearly we see here, really interesting, that Joshua, the very first time they're coming into the land, you know, it's announcing a Jubilee. So again, if we knew that year for sure, then we would know Jubilee year for sure. And unfortunately, we don't. We know around that time, we can guess, but we really don't know exactly that which year this happened. Leviticus 26. Let's go to Leviticus 26. But again, there's no other record. Interesting enough, no other record of Jubilee, because again, when you understand what the Jubilee represents, you understand why there's no record of it. Because Israel never fulfilled of allowing Yahweh to be their kinsman redeemer. They never fulfilled of letting Yahweh free them from their physical captivity and their spiritual captivity. Leviticus 26. I'll start in verse 14. Leviticus 26 and verse 14. "And if you will not listen to me and do not do these commands, and if you reject my statutes and if your soul hates my judgments as not to do all my commands to the breaking of my covenant, I will also do this to you. I shall appoint terror over you, the wasting and the burning fever, destroying the eyes and consuming the soul. And you shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies will eat it. And I shall set my face against you, and you shall be smitten before your enemies, and those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee, and there shall be no one pursuing you." And if after these things you will not listen to me, then I will chastise you 7 times more for your sins. We talked about this the first night. And I will break the pride of your strength, and I will make your heavens as iron and your earth as bronze. And your strength shall be consumed in vain, and your land shall not give her produce, and the tree of the land will not give its fruit. And if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to listen to me, then I will bring 7 times more plagues on you according to your sins. And send against you the beast of the field, and it shall bereave you. And I shall cut off your livestock and will make you few, so that your ways are desolate. And if you are not chastised by me by these things, you shall walk contrary to me. Then I also shall walk contrary to you, and shall smite you, even I, 7 times again, more for your sins. And I will bring a sword on you, executing the vengeance of the covenant. And you shall be gathered to your cities, and I will send pestilence into your midst. And you shall be given into the hand of your enemy. So again, we see the 7 times, again, the completeness of the punishment. We talked about that the first day. If you look at the time Israel goes into captivity, you add that 7 times duration up, you come to 1948, where Yahweh is freeing them. They're freeing them, Israel, from their captivity. But, like we said, there's much more to the Jubilee than just the physical captivity of the land, which we'll get into here. Covenant promises are conditional. We see it here. They are conditional. So again, Yahweh gives these great covenant promises, but they're conditional on Israel doing certain things. And that's what a covenant is. One person has one responsibility to do one thing. Another person has another responsibility. And together, you make covenant promise. Israel, the people, and the land have been captive for 2,520 years. So the people were out of the country, and the land was desolate. And a matter of fact, one of the greatest miracles that happens here is that even the physical land was not producing fruit or anything until people came. And then all of a sudden people start coming and it starts growing out of nowhere. Why? Because Yahweh said it. I mean, it's just, it's unnatural. It's unheard of. You know, that why would something be barren simply because it's barren? And then all of a sudden people come and don't do anything and it starts growing. And that's the amazing part of this land, because it was the time of the covenant. Without the kinsman redeemer, the Goal, without the kinsman redeemer, the legal relative who can redeem what was lost, people cannot receive the covenant promises, even if they return to the land. And we'll see here, there's a reason why, from day one, you know, Israel is being punished on every side. You know, it's almost like a bad joke to think after 2,520 years of being in diaspora, of being spread around the world, of going through a Holocaust, all those things, that you come into the land and you deal with this every day. You know, what country on earth deals with these things like this? It's a funny joke that a Gentile one time, you know, is before the throne and he's talking up there with Elohim and he says, you know, you're always saying, you know, that the Jewish people, the land is given to the Jewish people and all the blessings go to the Jewish people. You know, why? Why do all the things go to the Jewish people if you're not a respecter of person? You know, why do they get all these special blessings? And he says, ah, wait till you see the neighbors I give them. So it equals out. Everything equals its way out. And really, if it wasn't in the Word, you couldn't believe that this could happen. That after all this time, Israel comes back under these circumstances. Because really, Jewish people do not want to conquer the world. They just want to live in peace like anybody else. They want to have a life. And now they're dealing with all this because of the prophecy. And as we go through this today with the kinsman redeemer, you'll see that what's happening, as terrible as it is right now, as it looks, it's a beautiful, beautiful way to get them to look toward the kinsman redeemer. Because the kinsman redeemer is our only hope. It's our only hope. Because again, if you had the right of redemption, you can redeem yourself. But I'm going to prove to you that no human being has that right of redemption. There was only one. So, here we see that the penalty for sin has not been paid. The Redeemer pays the penalty and frees the captives. So it's not just a physical paying of land. It's not just a tax. But literally, as we see from the covenant, there was a sin that caused them out of the land, so that sin has to be paid for to return. And I always say that. There's two sides to redemption. Forgiveness is one, but then the penalty has to be paid. You know, it's like a person can kill your father and they're in prison. You can forgive that person, but they're not going to let them out of prison. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. It wouldn't be justice. So forgiveness is one side, and it's great. We need forgiveness. You know, that's Pesach. But atonement is reconciliation. And reconciliation can only come when the penalty has been paid. There always has to be redistribution. When you look in the Torah, that's the beautiful part of the Torah and the justice of it. That, sure, if somebody comes in here and steals, you know, 1,000 pomegranates from me, I can love them and I can forgive them and I can say, okay. But if that 1,000 pomegranates was to feed a village, they're not going to be fed on forgiveness. So that person who stole it, according to the Torah, would have to pay it back with 20% more. And again, it's a deterrent to crime. So we see with the kinsman redeemer, it's so much more than just forgiveness. And who can pay their penalty? Which one of us can pay our penalty? Which one of our Jewish brother that is actually living in the land today can pay the penalty that's required that got them out of the land? I just read Leviticus 26. There's only one reason they were living all around the world, the same as Ephraim is, because of sin. Yahweh said, if you keep my covenant, you will dwell in this land forever. They didn't. He said, if I kick you out, it'll be exactly 2,520 years. It was. Now they're back. But the penalty still hasn't been paid for the sins that brought them out. There's still a debt that has to be paid here between Yahweh and the nation. And it can only be paid by the kinsman redeemer. And that's why he comes before the Jubilee. Because the Jubilee is the rejoicing. The Jubilee is where everybody is happy because the debt is already paid. So he has to come before the Jubilee to redeem what was lost. The Redeemer pays the penalty and frees the captive and restores what was lost. The covenant, the land, promises the life from captivity. This happens in the Jubilee year. Let's go to Genesis 6. And again, to understand this, you have to also understand Yahweh's 7,000-year plan. Yahweh created the earth in 6 physical days. Some people think every day was 1,000 years or whatever. It couldn't be. If you look at everything from creation, what's created on the next day was needed from the day before. There's morning and evening, day one. There's nothing in creation that would make us think that it's any more than 7 literal days. But yet at the same time, what we see is that the 7 days of creation, 6 days for the creation and the 7th day the rest, which I thought Andy did a beautiful message on that on Shabbat, on what that rest means. It also shows the 6,000 years that Yahweh has given to man to run his own governments and schools and education and religion and everything. And then the 1,000-year millennial where Messiah comes back, the Gaol, the kinsman redeemer, and then the kingdom comes. So we see this pattern in the Bible. 6 days for man, and 6 is the number of man. That's why 666, the mark of the beast, because 3 is the number of unity. And it's a worldwide unity of man without Yahweh. But Yahweh's is 7, completion. So we see 6,000 years for man, 7th millennium for Yahweh. So when we go to Genesis 6, I'll read the first 3 verses. And it came about that men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. The sons of the Elohim saw the daughters of the men, that they were good, and they took wives for themselves from all those whom they chose. And Yahweh said, my spirit shall not always strive with mankind, and they're going astray, he is flesh. And his day shall be 120 years or times. That word does not have to be years, it could be times. So the reason why times, I believe, is a better translation, because we know after this, many people live more than 120 years. It makes no sense if he's saying literally that no human being will live over 120. Matter of fact, even today, there's some people. You see the oldest person in the world. They're living in Mongolia, eating yogurt, and they're 127 years old or something like that. So many people, even Abraham, Isaac, they all live more than 120 years. But if you looked at his days, meaningly because of man's evilness, his time on this earth will be 120 times or 120 jubilees. 120 times 50 comes to 6,000. Much better fits the pattern. Much better fits the pattern. Then we go to Peter. Let's see if we can confirm it in the mouth of 2 witnesses. Let's go to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 7. But the heavens and the earth now, having been stored up by the same word, are being kept for a fire for a day of judgment and destruction of wicked men. We talked about this. There is a lake of fire. There is a judgment. There is a hell, a Gehenna. But But let not this one thing be hidden from you, beloved, that one day with Yahweh is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Yahweh is not negligent concerning his promises, as some count negligence, but is patient toward us, not wishing that any perish, but all come to repentance. So again, a day for a year. We see that in Numbers 14:34, I believe it is. You know, again, day for a year, you see it. So 1,000 years is as a day is as 1,000 years. 6 days for man, the seventh day is Shabbat. 6,000 years for mankind to run his systems. The seventh millennium for Yahweh in his Shabbat. Let's go to Isaiah 61 now. Because let's look at now the Jubilee with the freedom of the captives. Like I said. So we're gonna put together, just like last night when we talked about the oil, the grain, and the wine, and we showed the spiritual and the physical. We're going to look physically today, where physically, yes, the kinsman redeemer will physically give this land back. I'll read the scriptures to you. But let's look at what has to come first before physically the people will be able to live on the land. So let's go to Isaiah 61, and I will start reading in verse 1. The Spirit of Adonai Yahweh is on me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach the good news to the meek. Does this sound familiar? Come from Luke 4, right? This is the very first time Yeshua ever publicly spoke in the synagogue. And this is what he opened to. He went in, he opened the scroll, and this is what he's reading. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the meek. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives. What were we just talking about in the Jubilee year, right? When you become captive, you're going to be set free. And recovery of sight to the blind, and complete opening to the bound ones. To proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. That's the Jubilee year. Now he stopped there, right? He stops right there, he closes it up. But there's more to it. Let's look, because that's what he was going to do the first time when he came. But let's continue to read it now and see what his full message is when he comes back. And the day of vengeance of our Elohim. He's coming back with fire. To comfort all those who mourn. To appoint to those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. The mantle of praise instead of the spirit of infirmity. So that one calls them trees of righteousness. The planting of Yahweh in order to beautify himself. And they shall build old ruins. They shall raise up former desolations. You're seeing it. You're living it. You're seeing all these places here. And they shall restore the waste cities, ruins of generations and generations. And foreigners shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of strangers shall be your plowmen with your vine dressers. But you shall be called priests of Yahweh, Melchizedek. It shall be said of you, ministers of our Elohim. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and you shall revel in their glory. Instead of your shame and disgrace double, they rejoice in their portion, for they shall possess a second time in their land. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. They shall possess a second time in their land. Now this is all of Israel. You know, remember Jeremiah 31:32. In that day Yahweh will be Elohim of all the tribes. So this is not just Judah. This is all 12 tribes that they will again possess in the land. But which of us? You know, I mean, like I said, I've been blessed to meet the Prime Minister. But I can't go to him and say, it is my right to redeem my land here up because I'm from the tribe of Dan. I'm going to take over that kibbutz up there. You know, I'll have a one-way ticket flying out of here to who knows where. But when Yeshua returns, he will have that right. He comes and his reward is with him to give each person, you know, according to their faithfulness. He does have that right, and he will redeem the land. And each of us will get a portion in that land. But first, like he said, he had to free the captives. He had to free the captives. That the sin of Leviticus 26 has put us all into captivity. And that's why Judah is going through such trouble now. I'm going to read the scriptures. Because they're not accepting the freedom of their captivity. And here we are, we're free, right? Because we accepted his blood, but we haven't gotten our land yet. Isn't it kind of a dichotomy there? We have the freedom without the land, they have the land without the freedom. But who's got the better life? You know, we don't have Arabs all around us trying to kill us. You know, we have the spirit of Yahweh. One of my favorite scriptures is when Elisha is over there and they're getting nervous and they're thinking, you know, look at these people, we can't win. And should we show them? Yeah. And then he looks and he sees angels all around there, you know. So we have something better than anybody has. We have the spirit of Yahweh and we have his heavenly host who are with us. Let's go to Psalm 68. Because it's important to really embrace in the freedom from our captivity that the kinsman redeemer gives. Psalm 68. Psalm 68 in verse 18. You have gone up on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men. Yea, to dwell among the rebellious, O Yah Elohim. This comes from Ephesians, you know. They quote it there, Ephesians 4:8. Blessed be Yahweh. Day by day He carries a load for us. The L of our salvation, the L of Yeshua, Selah. Our L is to us the L of deliverance, and to Yahweh Adonai are the issues of death. He's the L of deliverance. We've been freed from that captivity, and that's why covenant relationship is so important. Because when you repent of your sins, meaningly you turn away from them. And again, if the law is done away with, you know, you look, what is sin? 1 John 3:4, sin is the breaking of the Torah. So if the Torah is done away with, then there's no sin. And if there's no sin, why do I need a Savior? You know, it's illogical, the whole breakdown of the whole law being nailed to the cross type thing. But over here, what we see is, you know, not that law has been done away with, not that instruction, Torah, has been done away with, but sin has been done away with. He led captivity captive. We were captive not by obedience, we were captive by disobedience. And He has taken that disobedience, you know, together our legal code of debt, like it says in Colossians 2:14, it's a legal contract. He's nailed it to, you know, His tree of crucifixion, has taken it away. He's taken the penalty away. He's freed us from that captivity. And we just had three people. I was just talking with Ryan before. How do you tell me you felt, you know, coming up out of the water of baptism? Peaceful, right?
Very peaceful.
Yeah. You just feel this peace that surpasses all understanding to know that you literally, your sins have been taken away by Messiah. Psalm 85. Psalm 85. To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. O Yahweh, You have been gracious to Your land. You have turned back the captivity of Jacob. You have taken away the iniquity of Your people. See, the return to the land, the iniquity, they're tied together. Because the iniquity got them out of the land, the repentance has got to bring them back. You covered all of their sins, Selah. You gathered all of Your wrath. You turned from the heat of Your anger. O Elohim of our salvation, Elohim of Yeshua, turn us and break up Your anger with us. Will You be angry with us forever? Will You draw out Your anger to all generations? Will You revive us so that Your people may rejoice in You? Show us Your mercy, O Yahweh, and give us Your salvation. Yeshua is salvation. I will hear what Yahweh Elohim will say, for He will speak peace to His people and His saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely His salvation, surely Yeshua is near to the ones fearing Him. For glory to dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. Truth shall sprout out of the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. Yea, Yahweh shall give good, and our land shall give its produce. Righteousness shall go before Him, and shall make a way for His footsteps. Praise Yahweh. Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Starting in verse 1, a song of ascents. When Yahweh turned back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was full of laughter and our tongue was joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, Yahweh will work great things for these. Yahweh did great things to work with us. We are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Yahweh, like the south streams. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. You know the song, Bringing in the Sheaves? That's where it comes from. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. Surely he who walks and weeps, bringing a trail of seed, shall come again with joyful shouting, bearing his sheaves. Beautiful about it. Redemption. Physical redemption. Spiritual redemption. Psalm 53, verse 6. Psalm 53 and verse 6. Who gives from Zion, Yeshua of Israel? When Elohim brings back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, Israel shall be glad. Who gives from Zion, Yeshua of Israel? When Elohim brings back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, Israel shall be glad. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. But to each one of us was given grace according to the measure of the gift of Messiah. Because of this, he says, having ascended on high, he led captivity captives and gave gifts to men. We just read that in the Psalm. And that's why he's saying it. He led captivity captive. Literally, like I said, by his perfect life, by him being the perfect kinsman redeemer, he was the only one who qualified to literally be able to take away our right of redemption, to pay that penalty for us so that we can be redeemed back into covenant and one day return and receive our land again. Through grace of Yeshua, he freed the captives. Restoring the land means nothing if you die and don't have the land after that. Ephraim is still captive in the nations and has not received physical blessings of the land covenant. And Judah is held captive by the sins of the first covenant that they're yet to pay for. So, you know, we're partners in this. We know in the end all 12 tribes will be saved. And our brother is having the benefit of being here in the land, even with all the trials. But they have no salvation. They're still in their captivity. And yet we are freed from our captivity, but we have nowhere to go to yet. It's all going to come together, as we'll see. Zechariah 8, let's read about it. Let's read about our brother Judah's plight right now. Zechariah 8 in verse 9. It says, so says Yahweh of hosts, let your hands be made strong, you who hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophet, that in the day the house of Yahweh of hosts is founded, the sanctuary is to be rebuilt. For before those days, so we know that, the sanctuary will be rebuilt when the Messiah returns. He does it, but he's saying before this. Now, the days we're living in now, before Messiah returns. For before those days, there was no payment for man. See, Judah's living in that time now. There's no payment for man. Nor was there payment for animal. And there was no peace to him from the adversary who went out or came in. See, we have protection from the adversary. They don't have protection from the adversary. For I sent every man a man against his neighbor. You're seeing it. But now I will not be to the remnant of this people as in the former days, says Yahweh of hosts. For there shall be peace for the seed, and vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its produce, and the heaven shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit these. The Jubilee. Like I said, the people will not have to plant in that time. You keep the Jubilee, and Yahweh says the 49th, the 50th, and the 51st year. He'll give for 3 years above it. Yahweh will provide. And it shall be, as you were a curse among the nations. You know, we see that today. They all hate Israel. O house of Judah and house of Israel. So I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear. Let your hands be made strong. For so says Yahweh of hosts, as I purposed to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says Yahweh of hosts, and I did not turn back from it, so again I have purposed in these days to do good to Jerusalem and the house of Judah. Do not fear. Do not fear. It's going to get bad. There's a day of Jacob, but they're going to get through it. We're all going to get through it. And we have to trust in these promises. We have to trust in these promises. Isaiah 54. Isaiah the 54th chapter. I'll go 1 through 8 and drop down to 12. But you know, Judah, because they don't have the spiritual eyes, they're worried. And that's what we try to tell them. We're your brother. We're here to help. You know, we're not here to take your identity away. And that's the problem with Christianity. For 2,000 years, Christianity is trying to take their identity. You know? And for people, you can't blame people that have a complex that people have been trying to destroy them from the earth for the last 2,000 years. Actually, 3,000 if you go back from the beginning when Israel becomes a nation. So look what is said to Judah. Sing out, barren one who never bore. Break out a song and shout, you who never travailed. For the sons of the desolate one, Ephraim, are more than the sons of the married woman. You know, Judah's the nation again. They're living here. There's only 6 million. Ephraimites, there's more than 100 million. Maybe even up to 1 billion Ephraimites around the world. So the sons of the desolate one are more than the sons of the married one. Make the place of your tent larger. Remember we talked about that? Enlarge the borders of your tent, meaning let your family grow, let your brother in, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. You know, and the brothers of Judah are not here to hurt them. We're here to help them, stand up for them. For you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left, double blessing. And your seed shall possess nations, and people will inhabit ruined cities. Do not fear, for you shall not be shamed, nor shall you be disgraced. For you shall not be wounded. For you shall forget the shame of your youth, and you shall not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your makers, it's plural, yes, there's two, Yahweh and Yeshua, your makers are your husbands. Yahweh of hosts is their name. And your Redeemer, this is Gaol, kinsman Redeemer, your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua HaMashiach. He is called the Elohim of all the earth. For Yahweh has called you as a woman forsaken. See where I want to go up to here, let me see. Yes. Yahweh has called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, even a wife of young men when she is rejected, says your Elohim. For a little moment I have left you, but I will gather you with great pity. And in a flood of wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but I will have pity on you with everlasting kindness, says Yahweh, your Redeemer. Kinsman Redeemer. Same word there. Drop down to verse 12. And I will make your battlements of ruby and your gates carbuncle stones and your border stones of delight. And all your sons will be taught of Yahweh, and the peace of your sons will be great. You shall be established in righteousness. You shall be far from oppression. For you shall not fear and from terror, for it shall not come near to you. And today we know there's much terror going on in this land. Behold, gathering they shall gather, but not from me. Who has gathered against you? By you he shall fall. Behold, I have created the smith who blows the coal in the fire, and who brings out a weapon for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. Every weapon formed against you shall not prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the inheritance of the servants of Yahweh, and their righteousness is from me, says Yahweh. What a great promise to think about, especially in the days we're living in and what they're going through. Go back to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49 and verse 1. Hear me, coastlands, and you people from afar. Now again, he's talking to Israelites in diaspora. And pick up your ear. Yahweh called me from the womb. He mentioned my name from my mother's belly. Clearly, this is all messianic. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. He hid me in the shadow of his hand and made me a polished arrow. He hid me in his quiver. And he said to me, you are my servant to Israel, you in whom I shall be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing. And in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with Yahweh, and my work with my Elohim. And now, says Yahweh, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, again messianic, to bring Jacob back to him. Though Israel is not gathered, yet I am honored in the eye of Yahweh, and my Elohim is my strength. And he said, is it too little that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also give you my Yeshua to be a light of the nations to the end of the earth. And that's what we see, the casting away of Israel. Now when the disciples, the apostles are going out to the world to seek the Israelites, anybody of any race, any color, any creed can join into the one tree of Israel. So the blessing comes in. Now his people are from all over the earth. So says Yahweh, the Redeemer. Same word. Gaol, same word, kinsman Redeemer. So says Yahweh, the kinsman Redeemer of Israel, his Holy One, to the despised of soul, to the hated of nation, the servant of rulers, king shall see and rise up, and chief shall worship, because of Yahweh who is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he chose you. So says Yahweh, in a favorable time, I have answered you. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you. And I will preserve you and give you for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolated inheritances. Say to the prisoners, remember, he's letting prisoners go captive, releasing of our sins. Say to the prisoners, go out. To those who are in darkness, reveal yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, and the heat of the sun shall not strike them. Sounds very similar to even Revelation 7. For he who has mercy on them shall lead them, and he shall guide them by the springs of water. Again, life and water only comes from Yahweh. And I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be set on high. Behold, these shall come from afar, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and from the land of Sinom, as far as China. Literally, they'll be coming. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break out into singing, O mountains, for Yahweh has comforted his people, and he will have pity on his afflicted. Drop down to verse 18. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather and come to you. As I live, says Yahweh, you shall surely wear all of them as an ornament and bind them on as a bride. For your wastes and your deserted places and your land of ruins shall even now be too narrow to live there. And they who swallow you shall be far away. The sons of your bereavement shall yet say in your ears, the place is too narrow for me. Come near to me so that I may have place to live. Then you shall say in your heart, who has borne these to me? And I am bereaved and desolate. Turn aside and be an exile. Who then has brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. From where do these come? So says Adonai Yahweh, behold, I lift up my hand to the nations, and I will set up my banner to the peoples, messianic. And they shall bring your sons in the bosom, and your daughters shall be carried on the shoulder. And kings shall be supporting you, and their princesses your nurses. They shall bow down to you faces to the earth, and lick up the dust of your feet. And they shall know that I am Yahweh, by whom they shall wait for me, shall not be ashamed. Drop down to verse 26. And those who oppress you I will feed with their own flesh, and they shall be drunk by their own blood as with wine. And all flesh shall know that I, Yahweh, and your Savior, Yeshua, the kinsman redeemer, the mighty one of Jacob. Beautiful, unbelievable, beautiful psalm. Who can deny Psalm 49, talking about Yeshua, our Savior? Isaiah 59, verse 11. Isaiah 59 and verse 11. We all of us roar like bears, and moaning we moan like doves. We wait for justice, but there is none. For Yeshua, but he is far from us. For our rebellions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and lying against Yahweh, and turning back from our Elohim, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and murmuring words of falsehood from the heart. Injustice is driven back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth stumbles in the plaza, and right is not able to enter. And the truth is lacking, and whoever turns from evil makes himself a prey. And Yahweh saw, and it was evil in his eyes, that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and he was astonished that there was no intercessor. And his own arm saved for him, and his righteousness sustained him. Who is the right arm of Yahweh? Yeshua, I did a message on this last year. No man could be your kinsman redeemer. No man has the authority because every man is a sinner. Only Yeshua. For he put on righteousness like armor and a helmet of Yeshua he put on his head. And he put on robes of vengeance as clothing. And he put on zeal like a mantle. According to work, so he will repay fury to his foes, recompense to his foes. He will repay recompense to the coasts. So they shall fear the name of Yahweh from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the foe comes like a flood, the Spirit of Yahweh will cause them to flee. And the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer, comes to Zion and to those in Jacob who turn back from their rebellion, declares Yahweh. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahweh. My Spirit who is on you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your seed or out of the mouth of your seed seed from now on forevermore, says Yahweh. So again, we see once this comes, once the redemption, once the jubilee, it's forever. It's forever. The captives are set free, the penalty is paid, and his kingdom comes forever. Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. But there's only one person who qualified, as we're seeing here. Isaiah 63. Who is this who comes from Edom with crimson garments from Bozrah? Where is that? Jordan, right where we'll be. This one adorned in his clothing, inclining with great power. And look what he says. It is I, speaking in righteousness, the great Yeshua. Exactly like it says in the Hebrew. I'm reading it word for word. Who is this? He says, it is I, speaking in righteousness, the great Yeshua. Why is your clothing red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress, I alone, and no man of the people was with me. And I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their dew shall be spatted on my garments, and I will pollute all my clothes. Remember Revelation 14, he comes back and blood is on his vesture. Why? Because of this. You're reading why. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. What's the year of his redeemed? The Jubilee. The Jubilee. The year of my redeemed has come. And I looked and no one was helping. And I was astonished that no one was upholding. Just like the last scripture. Then my own arm saved for me and my fury upheld me. And I will tread down peoples in my anger and make them drunk in my fury. And I pour juice to the earth. I will mention the mercies of Yahweh, the praises of Yahweh, according to all that Yahweh has benefited us, and the great good to the house of Israel, by which he benefited them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, sons that do not lie, and he became to them a savior. In all their affliction he was not a foe, and the messenger of his face saved them. Who was the messenger of Yahweh in the old covenant? Yeshua. I mean, this is unbelievable. How do the rabbis miss it? It's right there in front of them. In his love and in his pity, he was their kinsman redeemer. And he bore them up and lifted them up all the days of old. Kinsman redeemer is not something new. Yeshua said he had his hand out all the time. You know, but they rejected it, unfortunately. But in this day, praise Yahweh, they will take it. Verse 15. Look down from heaven and peer from the place of your holiness and your glory. Where is your zeal and your might? The roaring of your bowels and the mercies toward me, are they held back? For you are our father. This is Ephraim talking now to the father. You are our father. Though Abraham does not know us, Abraham lived before the tribes of Israel were born. Although Abraham does not know us and Israel does not acknowledge us. Walk out here and tell a Jew that you're an Israelite. They'll be laughing in your face. Abraham does not know us. Israel does not acknowledge us. You, Yahweh, are our father, our kinsman, redeemer. Your name is from everlasting. O Yahweh, why do you make us wander from your ways? You harden our hearts from your fear. For your servant's sake, return the tribes of your inheritance. For a little while, your holy people possessed it. Our enemies have trampled your sanctuary. We are of old. You never ruled over them. Your name was never called on them. Like we said, covenant relationship now. Joining the family of Yahweh, having his name on us from here. Importance of the kinsman redeemer, so much involved in here. How beautiful the story is. Isaiah 60, back a couple of pages. Isaiah 60 and verse 12. Isaiah 60 and verse 12. For the nations and the kingdoms that will not serve you will perish. Yea, the nation shall be utterly destroyed. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you. The juniper, the box tree, the cypress together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. Yea, I will glorify the place of my feet. Also, the sons of ones afflicting you shall come bowing to you, and all who despised you shall fall at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Instead of being forsaken and hated, so that no one passes through, I will make you an everlasting majesty, a joy of many generations. You shall also suck the milk of nations, and you shall suck the breast of kings, and you shall know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior and your kinsman redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Verse 18, violence shall not still be heard in your land, nor wasting in ruin within your borders, but you shall call out to Yeshua by name as your wall of protection and your gates of praise. Now this gets pretty interesting, because remember what we said in the Jubilee year. Remember what we said. We said that in the Jubilee year, I'll go back to it and read it, Leviticus 25, that if you lived in a walled city, you only had 1 year to redeem your land or you lost it. But if you lived in an unwalled city, it was forever. Let me read that. Leviticus 25, 29 through 31. And when a man sells a dwelling house in a walled city, then his right of redemption shall be at the end of the year of its sale. His right of redemption shall be 1 year of days. And if it is not redeemed until a full year is complete, then the house in the walled city will be established in perpetuity to its buyer throughout its generations. It shall not go back in the Jubilee. But the houses of the villages which have no walls all around shall be counted as the field of the country. There are redemption rights to it, and it shall go out in the Jubilee. And what did we just read here now? In Isaiah 60 and verse 18. But you shall call out to Yeshua by name as your wall of protection and your gates of praise. Look at Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38, which is part of the after years when Yeshua returns. And look at an interesting scripture there. One verse, 38:11. Talking about Israel at this time. He says, "And you shall say, I will go up to the land of open spaces. I will go to those at ease, those who live securely, all of them living with no walls, and there is no bars and no gates to them." When the kinsman redeemer comes, that's one of the things he says. They will live securely. The same word that's used here. So meaningly, again, because they are unwalled villages, the reason why that is because it has to be unwalled villages to go back in the Jubilee. It's showing the security that only the Messiah can bring. And people rack their brains on this. I don't understand it, because look at Israel now. They're not when can this be? You know, because they don't know Yahweh, but there's unwalled villages. They're missing the point. They're missing the point of it. The point of it is, only the Messiah's return gives us the security to live in unwalled villages. And only with unwalled villages can it go back in the Jubilee. And it can only go back in the Jubilee if you paid the penalty of your sins. And you can only pay the penalty of your sins if the kinsman redeemer comes who paid that penalty for you. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story, just like the book of Ruth. You know, when you look at Boaz, who was a type of Messiah, taking Ruth at his feet, paying her penalty for her, redeeming her back. And then you look, who is it? You know, the great grandfather of King David. Beautiful, beautiful story that comes in here. Let's go back to Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We all have one. We have each one turned to his own way, and Yahweh made meet in him the iniquity of all of us." Drop down to 11 and 12. "He shall see the life of light, the fruit of the travail of his soul. He shall be fully satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify for many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Because of this, I will divide to him with the great, and with the strong he shall divide the spoil. Because he poured out his soul to death, and he was counted with those transgressing, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for transgressors." Yeshua, as kinsman redeemer, paid a great price to redeem the tribes free from their captivity. And this is what the Jubilee is all about. This is what the redemption is about. The kinsman redeemer redemption. Yeshua's kinsman redeemer paid a great price to redeem the tribes free from their captivity. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Because this is portrayed in the book of Ephesians. Because like I said, for 2,700 years, the Northern tribes of Israel have been out in diaspora all over the world. And they know where they are. Josephus knew where they were. He said where the tribes were. Like I said today, there's men like Yair Davidi, a Hebrew scholar over here. And he shows all the different things. We know about the white Indians. We know about the Afghanistans that have the menorahs from thousands of years. There's no doubt. We know where these people are. You know, most of the people in this room, I believe you think you're Israelites. Most of the people I meet around the world believe they're Israelites. Yet, how do we come back? How do we come back? You know, Yahweh established the nation of Israel. Yahweh put a government here. Yahweh did all this. How do we come back? We only come back when the kinsman redeemer allows us to come back. You need somebody. You need that next of kin. You need that Savior to redeem us back to the land. He already redeemed us from our sins. I don't think anybody is feeling they're still in their sins. But all of us are in anticipation, waiting to come back to the land. So it's got to happen before the Jubilee. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. "Blessed is the Elohim and Father of our Master Yeshua Messiah, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heaven through Messiah, even as he elected us in him before the foundation of the world, for us to be holy and without blemish before him in love. And he marked us with his love to be his from the beginning and adopted us to be sons through Yeshua Messiah according to how it pleased his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace in which he poured upon us by his beloved one. In whom we have redemption." Comes from the same root of the kinsman redeemer. "Who we have redemption through his blood. The remission of sins according to the riches of his grace. which he caused to abound toward us in all wisdom and understanding, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, as a stewardship of the fullness of the times, that all things might be made new, both in heavens and the things on the earth, through Messiah, by whom we have been chosen, as he marked us from the beginning, so he wanted to carry out everything according to the good judgment of his will. That we should become the first to trust in Messiah, to his honor and glory, in whom you also have heard the word of truth, which is the good news of your salvation. In him you have believed, so you were sealed with the Holy Spirit that was promised, which is the pledge of our inheritance to the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So again, we know that the promised land is the purchased possession, right? But he gives us his Holy Spirit. We have that down payment so that his Spirit can change our mind, so that we have the faith to believe it. And it's his goodwill to do that, because he's the kinsman redeemer. He's done everything. Now, like I said, if you were an Israelite, the same as we are today, we're all in the same boat. We all believe we're Israelites. We all believe in these promises. We all believe with all our heart one day soon Messiah is returning and we're going to live in this land, right? But still, we're not here yet. And some of us are frustrated. Well, praise Yahweh, I am here. But still not as the legal right that I would like to have. You know, I still have to get a visa. I still have to go jump through hoops. But many people aren't here. Many people aren't here yet. So think now, if you were living in the first century, and you were like you are today, you're an Israelite from Reuben, Issachar, Benjamin, Zebulun, Dan, Manasseh, wherever you're living, right? And you're living in the nations. You're living in the Parthian Empire. You're living in India. You're living maybe in Europe. You're already in your diaspora. And now you find out the Messiah of Israel came. Now the apostles are coming to these areas, like Yeshua said, and they're bringing this message of hope. The first is the redemption of our souls. But then if you were an Israelite, you know, and you're living in that time, you're asking, just like his apostles did. What did they ask in Acts 1:6? Master, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? They're looking for the physical land. They're looking for the second David to come. The same as these people were. What was your hope at that time? Do you know, according to the oral law of the Jews, that an Israelite, they knew they were an Israelite, when they would come here to Jerusalem for the feast, and hundreds of thousands of them did every year, they were not allowed to go into the court of the Israelites. That the rabbis felt, because there were so many years and generations in diaspora, you know, it talks about in the Bible, up to the fourth generation, up to the tenth generation, an Edomite don't come in, or this person don't come in. So they said the same thing. They said the Israelites have been outside of the land for 20 generations. They're no longer Israelites. So when they would come, literally, knowing who they were, because Judah was in the land, at that time it was called Judea, because there were no other Israelites living here, except for the ones, those few from the tribes that were living with them. And they were treated like Gentiles. They had to stay in the court of the Gentile, and they had no hope. So what happens when the good news comes out to these people in the first century? What happens to them? What is their questioning? And Paul writes it right here in Ephesians. I'm going to read it to you. Ephesians 2. Let's go to verse 11. And I'll prove to you here by the words, he is definitely talking to Israelites in diaspora, because by the words there's nobody else he can be talking to. So now put yourself in that mode. You're one of these people. You're an Israelite not living here in 2012, but you're living in the year 45 or 50 AD, you know, whatever it is. And Paul's coming to you with this good word, and now you're believing in the Messiah, but you're wondering about the promises. And look what he says. Because of this, remember that you, the nations, were then in the flesh from the beginning, and you were called uncircumcision. Literally, that's what they were calling them, unclean. Differing from those called circumcision, talking about Judah, which is the work of the hands in the flesh. That at that time, the time of your diaspora, you were without the Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without Elohim in the world. Where were these northern tribes? What was their hope before Yeshua came? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But now, in Messiah Yeshua, you who then were far off are brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he is our peace, who has made both one, Ikad, and has broken down the wall of separation between them. Literally, it was a real wall. It was a wall that separated the court of the Gentiles to the court of Israel. In his flesh, he has caused to cease the enmity due to the man-made laws and regulations, like I just said, the Jewish laws according to the rabbis, that Israelites had to stay in the court of Gentiles. He has caused to cease the enmity due to the man-made laws and regulations, that he might in himself create the two, Ephraim and Judah, into one new man, making peace. What does it sound like? Ezekiel 37, right? We're going to read it in a minute. And he reconciled both in one body to Elohim and destroyed the enmity through the crucifixion. And coming, he proclaimed peace to you, the ones afar off, and to the ones near. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the way of the Samaritans. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he preached first to his own rejected him, and then they went to the tribes. And coming, he proclaimed peace to you, the ones afar off, the Israelites, and the ones near Judah. For through him, we both have access by one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and family members living abroad. Look that up in the Aramaic and even in the Greek. It cannot mean Gentile, and it cannot mean Jew. It can only mean members of the same family that are not living there, Israelites. So clearly, through Yeshua, now as the tribes, you are no longer strangers and family members living abroad, but you are natives of the same family of the saints and children of the family of Yahweh, being built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua Messiah himself being the cornerstone of the building. Would he ever tell a Gentile that they were built on the foundation of the prophets? What would a Gentile have to do with the prophets? In whom all the building being fit together grows into a holy sanctuary in Yahweh, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of Elohim in the Spirit. So what great joy this was to these hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Israelites in their diaspora that had no hope. Because certainly there was no king of Judah here that was trying to bring these people back. They were just out there. Many of them have already grafted into the nations around them. Many of them were Gentiles. Even a lot of them stopped using circumcision. But now through the Messiah, the promises that were given way back when we read it in the Torah, we're being able to give it to these people again. The Kinsman Redeemer. The Kinsman Redeemer. I hope you're seeing the unbelievable hope that we have only in the Kinsman Redeemer. Because without a Kinsman Redeemer, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. And there's people that come here boldly, I'm an Israelite, blah, 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 and it's causing trouble. Because until the day that either Judah opens that door or Yahweh brings his people back, we're strangers in a strange land, just like Abraham. And Abraham didn't do that. When Yahweh promised Abraham all this land, he didn't start barking around the people, get out of my tent, you know, that's mine now. No, of course not. He was afraid. He was afraid that they might kill him. Isaiah 44. In verse 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you, you are my servant. O Israel, you shall not forget me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a thick cloud, and your sins like a cloud. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Comes from the same root word. Kinsman Redeemer. Sing, O heavens, for Yahweh has done it. Shout, O lower parts of the earth. Burst forth into praise, O mountains, O forests, and every tree in it. Sing praise because Yahweh has redeemed Jacob, and he glorifies himself in Israel. He is the Kinsman Redeemer. Redemption is done through the payment of the penalty of their sins. Ezekiel 37, which I mentioned, I'll read it. Ezekiel 37. That redemption is for the northern tribes as well as Judah. Ezekiel 37, verse 15. And the word of Yahweh was to me saying, you son of man, take one stick for yourself and write it for Judah and his companions, the sons of Israel. And take a stick and write for it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companions. And draw them one to one for yourself into one stick, Ikad. And they shall become one in your hand. And when the sons of Israel will speak to you, saying, what do you declare to us to mean by this? Then say to them, so says Adonai Yahweh, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with him with the stick of Judah, and I will make them one stick, and they shall be one ikat in my hand. And the stick shall be in your hand, the ones in which you write before their eyes. And say to them, so says Adonai Yahweh, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from all around, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will make them one ikat nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be for a king to all of them. And they shall not be two nations anymore, and they shall not be split into two kingdoms anymore. This is our hope. This is our hope. Like I said, Judah's here. They got the land. But they haven't been freed from their captivity. We're free from our captivity. We don't have the land yet. But you know what? I can wait. I can wait because I have the Spirit of Yahweh in me. And I'm excited. I mean, I wish it was today. But I'll wait until that day. Because that's the burning hope that's in me. The burning hope that's in me is for that kingdom. For Yeshua to return right behind us there. Dissolve all his enemies. Get rid of all wickedness. And the law will go forth from Zion, the word of Yahweh, from Jerusalem. That is the hope that everybody has. Let's go to Ezekiel 48. A couple more scriptures and we'll finish. Ezekiel 48. Let's look at the redistribution of the land when Messiah returns. Ezekiel 48. And these are the names of the tribes. From the north end to the hand of the way of Hethlon to the entrance of Hamath. Hazar Renan, the border of Damascus northward at the hand of Hamath, and there shall be to it east side and to west, to Dan one part, from Dan to Asher one part, from Asher to Naphtali one part, from Naphtali to Manasseh one part, from Manasseh to Ephraim one part, from Ephraim to Reuben one part, from Reuben to Judah one part, from Judah, you know, la 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 la, goes down there. Let's drop down to verse 14. See, I'm learning Hebrew too. La 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 la. And they shall not sell any of it, like we just read, remember, in Leviticus 25, and shall not trade, and shall not cause to pass away the first fruits of the land, for it is holy to Yahweh. And like I say, people say sometimes, in the Bible times, how would they know when the equinox was? You know how? Where we're living, we look out, the equinox is in the same place every year. When the sun is over a certain mountain, that's the day of the equinox, and it never changes. So as long as I don't sell the land, and my son don't sell the land, and his son doesn't sell the land, and his son doesn't sell the land, we're always going to know when the equinox is. It's Yahweh's land. It's eternal land. And that's the reason. Because we're planted here. We're planted here. There's a reason for it, and he's blessing the land. Because he loves the land, and he loves his people. Drop down to verse 22. And to the prince shall be the possession of the Levites, and from the city's possession amidst that for the prince, between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin. And the rest of the tribes from the east side to the west side, Benjamin one part, and then he goes in Issachar one part, Zebulun one part, Gad one part. And verse 29, this is the land which you shall make fall by lot for an inheritance to the tribes of Israel, and these their parts declare Adonai Yahweh. And these are the exits of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures, and the gates of the city shall be by the names of the tribes of Israel. Three gates northward, the gate of Reuben, the gate of Judah, the gate of Levi. And at the east side, 4,500, three gates, the gate of Joseph, the gate of Benjamin, the gate of Dan. And the south side, 4,500, the gate of Simeon, the gate of Issachar, and the gate of Zebulun. And the west side, 4,000, the gate of Gad, the gate of Asher, and the gate of Naphtali. Like we said, the Maseroth goes around according to the sanctuary, according to these tribes. And around it shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be Yahweh is there. Yahweh is there. Our Gaol, our kinsman redeemer, is with us at that point. Yahweh is there. Allotment of the land back to the tribes by the kinsman redeemer in the kingdom. And like I said, unfortunately, you can't do it yourself. In Leviticus 25, it says, if you can redeem, you can. But who can? Who can redeem for himself? Isaiah 59, 15. Isaiah 59 and verse 15. And the truth is lacking, and whoever turns from evil makes himself a prey. And Yahweh saw there was, it was evil in his eyes, and there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and he was astonished that there was no intercessor. And his own right arm saved for him, and his righteousness sustained him. Like I said, we cannot redeem for ourselves. Only the kinsman redeemer can. Last scripture is Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6 and verse 13. For Yahweh, having made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater to swear by, he swore by himself. Drop down to verse 17. Therefore, Yahweh, being abundantly willing to show to the heirs of the promise that his promising was irreversible, he sealed it with an oath, so that by the promise and the oath, which cannot change, and in which Elohim cannot lie, we find courage to hold fast to the hope that has been promised to us by him in whom we have taken refuge, which we have as an anchor of the soul, both certain and sure, and it enters into that within the veil, the Holy of Holies, where Yeshua entered as forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. There is only one who came from heaven as the eternal Creator and Son of Yahweh, who lived a life without sin and qualified to be the kinsman redeemer. Only he can restore what was lost by the sins of the first covenant, releasing the captives. Only he can redeem the land, the covenant promises, and freeing us from the death penalty that held us captive. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh for Yeshua HaMashiach.